Hey!
Hello, hello, hello.
It's Black Girls Laughing!
It's Black Girls Laughing.
We're back. Sorry for being gone for a couple of weeks.
Again, because, you know, you take your laptop to the Genius Bar, and so much for them being geniuses at the Genius Bar, am I right?
That's too bad.
Yeah, but I got a new motherboard, new connectors for my trackpad, because apparently that was about to die too, and said, if I have to see you guys again in a month, I'm going to be really, really upset.
Yeah, you made me. I'm, like, in the market for a new computer, because my computer's trash. And yeah, you made me like second guess getting a Mac, like, just right away. I'm like, oh, maybe I'll look at we'll look into these PCs.
Yeah, I guess like the life of computers, man. I think they make them, no matter what the brand is, shorter and shorter.
Oh yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah, I've had this thing since like 2013, so it's close to 5 years.
Yeah. No, I've had my computer since... Oh, girl, you're calling me at the wrong time. I've had my computer since 2012. So, yeah, it's old. It's real old.
Yeah. But anyway.
Yeah, anyway.
It's fixed. I'm here. It's done.
Yeah, we're back. Woo, 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 woo. Okay, anyways, how was your week?
It was a week. A lot of things going on in the world, a lot of things going on in my personal life, so I haven't really got to stop, which is what I was hoping to do more of this weekend, but it was a friend's birthday, so I ended up going to New York, and I went to FlameCon, which is really cool. It's like a smaller Comic-Con specifically focused in like queer representation in comics and media.
Okay.
So I got to meet one of the artists from Steven Universe.
Who did you meet from Steven Universe?
Kate, I can't remember her last name right now, but she also does Rick and Morty.
What does she do for Steven Universe?
She's a illustrator, so she like draws, and then she does she does color for Rick and Morty. And then a artist from Archie Comics. Vincent Rodriguez from My Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, aka Josh Chan.
Ooh, I love Josh Chan!
Yeah, he's so cute in person! Hold on. Well, I will find her name of what it was. But it was a really cool panel. The one with Josh Chan was like queer film and television now, as opposed to like in the 80s. Which is really cool and really important to see how we've grown, but also obviously to see how we are still lacking. Katie Farina. Mm-hmm.
Katie Farina, okay, cool.
Yes, from Steven Universe. She is super cool, and she does stuff with Boom Studios, but she does a lot of stuff, she's currently the main series artist on Steven Universe.
Wow, that's so cool.
And then the main colorist for Rick and Morty. I couldn't remember, like, verbatim what she does. And then, you know, like, a couple people that do, like, Wonder Woman, Suicide Squad, and do some of their own comics. So that was really cool. I got my book. I don't know if you've ever read Lumberjanes, but it's this really cool comic series that it's like Girl Scouts, but they do like more than Girl Scouts, and they like do really important things. They teach you about friendship, and they teach you about breaking like gender stereotypes, and like being tough and being friends with girls, and like girls loving each other in like a platonic way, and like being BFFs, and like girls can be tough and girls can be smelly and girls can be cool and awesome. And I thought the first time I ever read it was I read like the second book of the series, and Grace, who is an artist on Lumberjanes, was there and signed my book, so that was rad.
That's super rad.
And I learned more about comics, and like we all know that I'm terrible at keeping up with stuff, but I'm hoping to like, I don't know, get more into it. I read this one comic called Check Please, which my friend that I was visiting absolutely loves. And it's written by this black girl who went to Yale, and she wanted to talk about like male relationships focused mainly in male dominated sports. So it's so it's actually about hockey, and it's about this boy who plays hockey but also bakes and is also gay, and it's beautiful and it's so cute and it's so well written, and she's beautiful and so funny and so nice. And I blew through the first two books in like a second, and I'm like, oh, I want to invest money into this. Like, I liked this comic a lot.
Oh, that's dope, dope, dope.
So I suggest you all check them out. I suggest you check them out, Brittany. I was really excited because it was my first con, and it was also like my first time. Like, I've always like been adjacent to nerd culture, and like never really been a part of it because I didn't think it was cool, or like this perception of like, I think of con girls as just like a white girl with like victory rolls and like box dyed red hair.
She's and very problematic and just the worst.
So this con, like, I don't imagine me ever going to like full blown Comic Con. One, mostly because of the number of people, and two, there's like a nerd bro culture that I definitely don't want to be around. But like the centering of like queer and like POC representation at this con was really awesome. And you know, they had panels with like just really awesome people working on things that I actually watch and care about, like Steven Universe. So I would definitely go back there again. And also, it was really cheap. Like,
okay,
$20 for the day on Saturday. So you ain't gonna get that anywhere else. So
yeah,
FlameCon was awesome, and I will be back in New York City next year for that.
You should check out J1Con. That happens in, it's an anime con that happens in Philadelphia, and our friends from the Black Trebles, they are Jason, Spider-Man Treble, he's the one that like started it. It's like the seventh year. It's huge, and it's like super inclusive because he made it.
I might go for a day. Two things about con culture is I don't love anime. Anime is like, I don't know, I've just never been like, oh yeah, this is something I want to sit down and watch.
I mean, the only animes that I like are not really anime. It's like Steven Universe, and like, I kind of like, what's the bitch with the Japanese girl, school girl, what's her name?
Sailor Moon?
She's like, Sailor Moon, yeah. I kind of like Sailor Moon. And that's about it. I like real anime, because that's like real anime.
Yeah, I mean, I get told, like, there was this one cosplay from his character, from this anime Yuri on Ice, who was, like, the most beautiful human being I've ever seen. Their nose and, like, their facial structure, they were, like, so symmetrical, and they were, like, golden tan brown and had beautiful hair, and their costume apparently was, like, on point. They even made fake ice skates that looked like real ice skates, but they were, like, a platform so they could still walk on them, and they were so beautiful that they were intimidating, and I wanted to say hi, but, like, couldn't say hi. And everyone's like, you should watch this anime. And I'm like, And also, cosplay, I love the art of cosplay. I love people
Me too.
Making costumes. I love people dressing up. I will never do cosplay. It is not for me. The idea of me doing cosplay sounds dumb in my head. I don't like it for me. Sometimes it kind of intimidates me, like, when everyone's dressed in cosplay and I'm like, I'm not, but I don't want to be, so.
I want to cosplay as Garnet so bad. I want to do that. Or any crystal gem, actually. I would also do rose quartz. That's another one that I would do, because I would be fabulous in a pink wig. So, I've got big breasts. She's a giant woman. Yeah, like, that makes sense. I could rock a rose quartz. I think it's so cool and so beautiful. And people that have the time and the patience to, like, and the talent to do it is just awesome. And I love seeing cute black girls doing cosplay. It's like my favorite thing to look at on Tumblr.
Oh, yeah. And that one girl cosplayed as, like, everything. Like, Nina from Lilo and Stitch. And, like, there was just, like, a photo every day. I was like, wow. This is amazing.
And I love that one chick that did cosplay at work. Because they wouldn't allow her to, like... I just, like, wear a headscarf, like, and so she was like, okay, I'm gonna do cosplay every single day, and like, that was her petty protest, and I'm like, yes, I love that. Cosplay's so cool.
But that was my weekend. How about you?
My weekend is sort of, like, wrapping up this terrible experience called getting diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. I got on a new drug and I relaxed and I am learning about, it was a weekend of starting this new thing. So it was cool. I'm, like, still processing it all. What does it mean to my, who I am, my identity, what communities do I want to be a part of now? A lot of different things. That was my weekend. It was a very boring ass weekend. I went back to work this week after taking time. I took 2 weeks to heal myself, to focus in on healing myself, and it was such a great 2 weeks, and I got to meet some really great, awesome people. I got to learn so much about this journey that I'm going, that I'm on forever, I've taken these past, like, 2-3 months, since, like, this month of being diagnosed, because I've pretty much have known for, like, a month now, to just, like, understand what is going on, start the treatment process, which has been difficult, scary. It's taught me a lot about myself. And now it's all about living. And, like, I have this new respect for just, like, living. That I'm, like, trying to, like, wrap my head around.
We should all be doing that.
Yeah. I mean, we should definitely all be doing that. It's been interesting because I've had friends reach out to me, asking me for advice about dealing with difficult things, because I've been very public. I've been public. I don't know if I've been very public. I've been public about what's going on. And so people have been asking me just sort of like, how do you maintain positivity? How do you cope with these things? And like, yeah, it's like made me like reflect on like, oh yeah, am I a positive person? Like, is that something that I recognize as a part of my identity is being positive? And like, okay, so what does that mean? Like, I don't like, do I? And I've always thought of myself as a negative person. So, it's very interesting that people are just like, people acknowledging the positivity that I put out. And then thus me having to acknowledge that I do that. I don't know what that means for me, but like, it's good to be positive, and I love being positive, and I'm like trying to accept like what I do, and like sort of like acknowledge like what I do to help myself, and could it help other people? Like, is that something that could help other people? I don't know.
I mean, I think at this point, any positivity can help.
It's number one.
All of us right now.
Depression and not like, and like the bigger idea of depression, not just like clinical depression, but the idea of being in a depressive state and thinking and focusing on negative things. It's what kills people. Like, in a lot of ways. I mean, that's why I'm focusing on being so positive, because I know if I'm negative about what's going on with me, I'm going to make all those negative things happen.
Yeah, well, it's hard.
It's super duper hard. And it's okay to feel but anyways. I don't want to go into, like, a big, long spiel. Let's get into the damn John.
Do we have to?
I mean, we could just talk. Let's just, you know, it doesn't have to be, like, this week has been freaking hard. And it's been freaking, like, and I feel like August is always freaking hard.
Like, don't say that.
But like it's something I've been noticing, because like bad things have happened. Like, I feel like we have, especially with what's been going on, this ratcheting of our racial strife right now through what happened in Charlottesville and everything that's happened since. It, you know, Ferguson happened in August. I'm sorry to you, because I know it's an important month for you because you're born in August. But like, yeah. So I'm sorry to say that. But like, and then it's also the time for Leos and all the awesome people that I love that are Leos. That like a lot of cool people are born in August.
Yeah.
But then this bullshit's been going on, and like, this week has been weird.
This week has been, not surprised, still disappointed.
Well, yes. everything that 45 has done in the past week, it's like, I've been happy with everyone that's been like, black women warned you. Everyone's been warning you. There's a lot of people that have been saying that Hillary was warning us. No.
No. Bye.
Nah. She was trying to get elected. The people that did not vote for him, we warned you.
We told y'all.
Like, we told y'all when everyone was fighting about Jill Stein and Lessers of Two Evils, we let you know what evil was. And evil's been showing itself for so long, and evil has been unchecked for so long. And like, who is surprised that it got to the point that it did?
Not me.
You put the bull in the china shop, and you cannot be surprised when shit gets broken. We knew. We fucking knew. We all knew. The thing that's been like the most, the thing that's been annoying me the most has been how surprised my white peers are of their cousins who were out there. Like, but like, what? You all, like, you have racist people in your family. Everyone does. And you're like, when you're surprised, you've sat at the dinner table and you've got that cousin that just ain't right. And you guys aren't talking to him about what's going on.
And then he sees a bunch of people post about it on the internet, and he sees a president in the White House, and he goes, wait, the stupid things I'm saying, these other people are also saying.
It must be true. It's been validated. It's been validated. And, like, I hate our media right now because they've been validated this since 45 went down that escalator in his stupid tower announcing his candidacy. They've been allowing this rhetoric to go on, and it's been validated. And so these groups have grown. People are talking. And I just really hate, like, this, like, oh, we're going to go deep undercover and find out what they're doing. Like, they've been out here blatant with this shit. We don't go deep undercover. That Viceland video people keep on passing around. Like, watch it. It's 20 minutes. Watch this and understand. Like, we know this. And stop it. I'm, like, the thing that I really want to, I'm, like, the most interested in right now with everything that's been going on is I want to understand. I want to know where the fight for these Confederate statues, how all that stuff began in like the recent history. Like, I know the broader history of the Confederate statues, of when they were erected, mainly during the civil rights era as a declaration of white supremacy. But I want to look into, like, the movements to take them down.
Oh, wait.
Like, when did those start? What?
Most of those statues were, when did you say?
Civil rights era.
Okay. I thought you said the Civil War era.
No. Civil rights. Yeah. So in the 1960s, 50s, these were going up as a stance of, you've not changed shit. Yep. Here.
Yeah.
Like, so what I'm interested in, you know, the mayor of Baltimore took action in the you know, in the dark of the night, they went out and they tore down all of them. She was on, you know, I love Lawrence O'Donnell on MSNBC. I've talked about him before. I think he was like a roar once. Anyways, she was on there talking about, like, exactly giving us like how many minutes it took them to take down certain statues. Well, that one was the quickest one. That took us about 15 minutes. It was like the pride that she has in what she did. She did something that was, one, who knew that there were so many statues for the Confederacy in Baltimore? Yankee Baltimore.
There's tons everywhere in Yankee states.
Oh, yeah. The worst ones in Pittsburgh. It's absolutely ridiculous. And it's like, why can't... And the people that are upset about, like, the erasing of history has, like, been, like the most frustrating. It's all frustrating. It's all fucking frustrating. But, like, they're, like, a special type of frustrating. It's just, like, why can't we remember without honoring? Like, what are you... Like, why can't... Like, we can remember these things. Taking down the statue doesn't erase that history. I can still go pick up my history book. We still have museums.
We go to school in America. These are all the people that we... Only people that we learn about.
Like... And, like, look, and let's look at other things that we've decided that we're not going to honor. We're just going to remember. Like, let's look at the Vietnam Memorial. That's a freaking scar. Like, that is what it... Like, that is what it is. We chose to remember, not honor. Like, let's look at how... Like, so that's what we've done here. Let's look at post-World War II Germany. You can't... There's no Nazi anything anywhere. You can't have a Nazi symbol anywhere. Recognizing the evil for what the evil fucking is. Like, for what the evil is.
A concept.
Versus, and I, you know, and I'm really thankful to 45 for bringing up George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, because yeah, let's do look and understand our history. Yeah, like he said that like it was like some freaking news that George Washington and Thomas Jefferson had slaves. Oh no, they have slaves? They had slaves? Oh, our founding fathers? Duh!
I mean, I went to school. I don't know if he went to school. People say he did, but...
I really doubt
buying he it. Did.
I doubt he learned anything in school. I think he knew how to, like, play the system. He knew how to talk a good game. That's where the little bit of intelligence that he has works serves him. It's only to not do things. Is how he knows how to be smart. It's only in the avoidance of knowledge does he have skills. But like you bring up like, oh, where is it going to end? Like, let's like, we should think about how we honor people that had slaves. Like, we should talk about that because we never talked about it. So let's like, you know, well, let's talk about it.
No, like, no one got to be a part of the conversation. So like, if you're inviting us in, let's chat.
Well, let's do it. Let's have that conversation because we should. And like, if you're gonna bring up too much information, that's why like, it makes me think about. I watched that Tina Fey skit thing, and like there's a whole lot of debate, whole lot of women defending her, a lot of people fighting against what she said, or and got a conversation about comedy. What is comedy? What is satire? I get her satire. I get what she was trying to do. It could still be, you can get a joke and still recognize what's wrong.
You can go, ha ha.
and say, hey, you know that whole line about like Thomas Jefferson checking out the light-skinned girl by the butter churn? You know, that's like a rape joke, you know?
Maybe not. Maybe
you know,
don't?
You know, talking about saying that drag, reminding people that drag queens are 6-foot-tall black men also reinforces the idea that black men should be feared. So, you know, think about that. You know, and like, you know, having critique.
Well, you know, the thing is that when you like someone, then they absolutely are not allowed to be criticized whatsoever.
And I think everyone across the damn planet needs to check themselves on that. And like, we all have to check ourselves on that. Because like, the people are still freaking people. They have flaws. None of these people are gods. Until you tell me that the eclipse on Monday gave Tina Fey some superhero powers and we are in the world of heroes, don't tell me that chick is perfect.
Even superheroes have flaws.
I know. Like, cause gods have flaws, cause we all made them up, cause they're all humans.
Like, hello, hi, welcome to reality. I don't know, man. People are, I mean, this is a constant problem of, like, the second you like someone or are a fan, they need to instantly be free of criticism, but I, like, the things you like, you don't want the people you like to, like, do better or be better. You just want them to stay stagnant. Is that what you want from them? You don't want them to ever learn anything new or, like, grow as human beings?
No.
Is that what you want?
I saw a lot of people arguing that she is trying. And I'm like, okay. Again. You can try. Do good a little bit. It's like there are parts of things that she said that I will clap for, pointing out the hypocrisy of letting, you know, these white nationalists talk about losing their land, but and the police not coming at them with, you know, not pointing their guns at them, but they're ready to point their guns with. You know, the water protectors, people that actually own this land, that are actually the people of this land, talking about don't take away my land. Like, you know, good point, Tina Fey. Like, thank you. But then also, you did this wrong, and this wrong, and that's fine. I can recognize your satire and say maybe if so many people were upset about your satire, means you didn't do a good job.
Maybe, like, you can come back next time and not do that.
And there were probably a couple of lines, there was some shit you could have cut, there was a couple of lines of explanation you probably could have added that could have made it stronger. But again, you can't be mad if people to have a critique.
Like, when they say the saying, everyone's a critic, everyone literally, yeah, they are.
Everyone literally is.
Everyone is a critic. We don't get to steer away from it, and we're not even celebrities. And by we, I mean, like, all of us human beings.
If you have the audacity to express your opinion in any public forum, you're presenting yourself for criticism.
Surprise, freedom of speech does not actually protect you from that. Though we keep having this debate of like what it does or doesn't do, and apparently a lot of people learned like an incorrect definition in their school, but like the definition I learned is that It protects you from the government shutting down your acts of free speech. It does not protect you from your neighbor or your cousin or your friend saying, eh.
Yeah, maybe, or the whole city like of that. Boston saying, hey, you're wrong.
Yeah.
And you're wrong.
No, thank you.
And that is the thing that's the most confusing to me, is that people, because people are upset at racists, they don't like free speech.
any sense.
They just don't.
That doesn't make any sense.
No, I just don't like racists.
That's, yeah. Like, no, me too. Me neither. I don't like him either.
Like, great. Simple.
Like, your faves can still be your faves, and you can still be like,
do better.
The end. No one ever said, like, Tina Fey should go die in a fire. They just said, what you said wasn't great.
Yeah, like, it wasn't great. It wasn't bad. It's like, it was, like, there's issues. Let's talk about it. And, like, people are like, oh, but, like, it goes with this idea that we should be, we, black people, should be grateful for any white person that shows, that does any performance of allyship. No. No. And no. One, keep your performances for you, not for me. One. That's like number one. Two, if you're gonna do it, again, like with anything, with any act that you do in public, you better be ready for the criticism of it. Even if all good intentions are behind it. Your intentions do not regulate my reaction.
Number three, I don't owe you nothing for being an ally. You don't get a pat on the back or gold sticker or a star. You're doing the basic bare bones minimum level of like being a decent human being and recognizing the history of this country and the history of white supremacy that has sought to wipe out any other person who isn't specifically a white male. So I don't owe you a high five or really like acknowledging you ever.
Especially when it's just performative. Like, let's keep it real, too. Everything that I've been seeing right now is, let me scream that I'm not racist. Let me scream that I dislike racism. Cool. Sesame Street taught you that. Great. Like, this is, like, you're 30. You're 30. Like, you're like... Like, we should be beyond that, because especially after what we just saw, what we have seen our country doing, what we are on the precipice of. Yeah, like, it's going to be a little bit more for the high five. It's going to be a little bit more than that.
It's going to be a lot bit more for me to even, like, look. And be like, cool. Yeah. You're cool. Just, if you're an ally, you don't need anyone to pat you on the back. If you're a real ally. Yeah, that's kind of just how I feel about everything right now.
Let's move on.
Are you done? Are you over it?
I'm not done. I'll never be over it, but
for today, right now, the second
but for this second, I am. The second I am. Yeah, I just don't want to
It's like just talking in circles.
It is. I'm trying to, like, as I chastise others to figure out action, I'm also trying to figure out my own action. I'm trying to figure out my own action of what I'm going to be doing, because, like, the thing that I don't want to do is teach white people. So I'm trying to figure out what my action is that's not teaching white people, because right now the narrative of this Charlottesville thing is that white people need to learn, and there's this like silent pressure behind me that's like this voice behind me saying, help the white people around you. Like, and I'm like, it's like I'm surrounded by so many white people. All people that are new to me, that I don't know what's going on, like where their head's at. Where I'm like, no, that's not my job. Let me help black people. I'm like, and that's it.
Yeah. At this point, if someone says something crazy, I've literally just stopped, like, acknowledging them, like, mm-hmm. as human beings. Like, I don't know if you saw, I think you saw on my Facebook the other day, of, like, someone trying to tell me about a post I shared that said, Charlottesville woke you up, why didn't Ferguson? And they just spewed a bunch of, like, garbage on my page about, what'd they say, momentum? Was the word they used, and I was just kind of like, okay. Nah. My only response was, okay. Because, like, it's not my job. Mm-mm. I've made it very clear in all aspects of my life, personally, professionally, that it's not my job, and not only can I not make that my job, I physically will not. I will not engage you. I will not. I will engage other people of color. Mm-hmm. I will engage other biracial people. I will engage other light-skinned people, because that in fact is my job. That is my job. That's my job as a biracial person. Mm-hmm. I have no desire, I have no, like, responsibility to teach white people anything.
Yeah. Ever. It's it's really hard for me right now, because I've been letting new white people into my life. And I have to realize, and I have to decide. Like, and that's something that I'm, like, deciding with myself. It's like, do I care about you enough? Like, to do that labor. Because, like, I think a lot about, like, the past couple of years, and, like, my friends and who I worked with who became friends over this time, of a lot of things, like, you know, working with fellow millennials during this time of Ferguson and beyond, Trayvon Martin and beyond, of this America that we've lived in, right? And working with white people who are my peers, I have done emotional labor for my friends or for people that are close peers, because I do care about those people. And it's a decision of, like, do I care about these new people? And I've changed so much too. Like, it's like meeting me at a completely different Brittany too. A Brittany that has gone through so much knowledge and changing about who I am in blackness and all of that. Now you know this Brittany, and you are a new white person. So I if there's any people that I don't give the benefit of the doubt to are white people when it comes to race. So now I have to, like, evaluate, like, and, like, it's easy for it to not even go there. And so, and, like, and that's a choice that I make, too, of, like, well, just keep it work things. Like, and then, like, there's the ones that, and there's people in your world that you might talk more to. And, like, making those decisions of who you talk more about things with. It's just, I don't know, it's just, it's very different. I don't have established friendships. Well enough established friendship with these people for me to be, like, I can even talk about what's happening. Like, it's just, like, yeah, I don't know, man. I'm going, yeah, there's a lot of thinking.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, I have made the conscious decision to, like, not be in overwhelmingly white spaces or even date white people. Like, it's a very conscious decision of, like, learning through therapy, like, so much of my existence is at an in-between in an intersection of so many things, not even just race-wise, but, like, just all of it, like, sexuality, like, size, like, understanding, like, economics, like, all of it, just such an in-between that there's already a lot to, like, explain to a potential partner about just my existence of the space in the world to, like, have to tack on, like, race on top of, like, everything else that is already going on with that conversation that we are finally having. I'm just like, I can't, like, I'm already out here, like, trying to look for, I don't know, me.
Yeah, again, and, like, before we started talking, like, before we started recording today, I was like, I have to think about it when I have to go into those spaces. I have to go to a white space every single day to go to work. Like, you know? Yep. Like, and that is just, and I have to navigate and figure out that space. And then, so that's, it's made me want to, again, not be in those spaces when I don't have to be. So it's making me think about what I want to, how do I want to spend my time in general outside of work? And how do I give that everything outside of work? Because since work has to be in that space, how can I give more time and breath and life to everything that is not
outside.
Work?
Yep.
How do I water that plant? Still kick ass at work because I'm, you know, I'm a kick ass, but I'm a kick ass chick that's going to be kicking ass forever.
Forever.
But, like, lower its importance, like, lower its a lot of, because the space doesn't allow me to be me 100%.
Yeah. We were talking about that because we finally had a conversation as a majority of staff at my work about everything that's been going on and what is our duty. And someone brought up, you know, it's really hard for some of us going to work and not being able to bring your full self, which we talked about a few articles that talked about that too. I know we have on here.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, we have.
And I actually am at a point where I bring probably 90 to 95% of myself to work because I think, one, it's really important to the work that I'm doing right now to bring that much of myself. And I don't want to work somewhere where I can't be like, there are Nazis running around. Can I not, like, come to the office today? Which I learned that my work, and my boss in particular, I was like, you know, I, like, cracked a joke and I was like, so when can I call him black? And he was just kind of like, do it. Like, that's fine. Because I was just like, you know, like, Nazis are running around. Like, there are Nazis running around the country.
They are.
Who wants to get, like, in the context of, like, thinking about, like, Nazis are running around on Sunday, and I have to get up and go to work on a Monday. And it's like, what? What? Shouldn't we be, like, addressing? Like, shouldn't we all just, like, stop what we're doing, put it down, figure out what?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. I didn't go to work on Monday. I didn't go to work on Tuesday. I came back on Wednesday. And that wasn't something, like, walking through my office, I heard people talk about the stuff that was going on. I heard no one talk about Charlottesville at all, right? No conversation about it. But again, I wasn't, like, going around, like, searching for the conversations, but they weren't happening organically anywhere. Maybe they happened on Monday and Tuesday. I don't know. I wasn't there. The only reference of it was, like, when Steve Bannon was fired. It was the only time I heard anything. It was like Steve Bannon is fired.
The end.
That was it.
Yikes.
And that's something that, like, is super weird about being at... Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. But again, finding different spaces, figuring out other places to, you know, it's a different understanding because, like, it wasn't that way. When we worked together, I know that I brought 100% of myself in that workspace. I don't even know where I'm at in terms of 100% because I'm going through a lot of different stuff. Because, like, I've been super honest at my job about my diagnosis. And, like, and that's, like, its own kind of, like, okay, well, I'm being so honest about that with them. And that part of this new part of who my life. And I mean, it's in my mission. My mission on their website, for me, is all about diversity, equity, and inclusion work. Like, that's all that I wrote about. But, like, this is why I work in the arts. And that's what I am very much about who I am in that way. My work doesn't reflect it, and so that gives me anxiety.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. Oh, and it really sucks because I do stuff with brand now too. So when you're, like, an ambassador for brand, yeah. Like, when you're an ambassador for brand for a company that doesn't look like you, like, how do you do that? But you can do it. It's just like everyone, people do it all the time, but it's been a new type of struggle for me.
I mean, that's grappling with tokenism.
Oh. Girl. Tokenism. Why'd you say that? Now I'm like,
Because.
I mean, yeah, I'm one of two people of color in the place that I work. Yeah, tokenism is definitely.
That's why I said it.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a thing. It's definitely a thing.
So many things to talk about.
Yeah, no, we went to therapy with each other right here.
We did. And we could do, I really could do more. I feel like if I wasn't so tired, I would have much more to say, but maybe it's important that I'm just kind of quiet today.
I mean, there's a lot going on.
So much going on. And that's, like, another thing I've been struggling with is, like, the balance of all of the personal things that's going on and, like, being aware of what's going on outside of me and not walking around with my head in the sand, but also, like, recognizing that I can't do this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
People can. I'm not one of those people.
Yeah. Again, focusing in on the small, focusing in on the day-to-day has helped me to not worry about those things, not be too preoccupied with these bigger things that when only brings me anxiety and stress.
It's a never-ending battle.
Like, and it only gives me those things when I'm unpacking it for myself. If I'm trying to unpack it for bigger things, for on a bigger bigger, you know, global, national, for another person, like, nah, can't do it. Still processing for myself
every single day.
Because it changes, it morphs, it gets uglier, it gets scarier. It gets scarier every day.
Yeah, I found this Tumblr that's, you know, those F yeah blogs that are like fan blogs of like people that are like constantly posting like positive things and updates and like
mm-hmm.
Okay. I found an F yeah nationalist girls.
Oh no.
And I was like, wow, this looks like a lot of people that, like, just live around me.
I mean, looking at the pictures of the people that were marching with the militias, with the neo-Nazi groups, with the nationalist groups, and seeing that they look too much like Tom that works two cubes down, like, it's a problem. Like, and that's why it makes it hard, because, like, that's why you need everyone, like, you know, you look like them, so I'm gonna need you to say I'm not them.
I really need you to say that to me,
like, just say I'm not them.
And will I believe you right away still? Maybe not.
Especially since the ones who are being so upset now that they're being doxxed. And they're saying that it's unfair that they went out and did one thing and now they're losing their jobs and people don't like them anymore.
Boo.
Boo hoo hoo.
Being a neo-Nazi got me fired from my job. That's going to be a TV show. Why did I say that out loud? You know someone's about to make that some...
But it's just like, fuck you. I have to think about, like, a lot of things.
Like...
that I might do too much of that might make me seem... Like, fuck you. Fuck you. That will make me worry about my safety in public.
Yeah, like going
constantly
outside, breathing.
Yeah. What? Suck.
Awful.
This silly, silly world.
The silliest. All right. We should.
Well, I'm just like, let's just move on to, like, the end of the show. Like, we've been talking for, like, an hour.
Sounds good.
Like, we don't need to do Anxiety Corner, because this was all Anxiety Corner. Life. It's like, life is anxiety. We had to talk it out. I hope this was good for y'all. Let's just get to Giggle, Cackle, Roar.
Okay.
Unless we want to... Do we have a throwback jam? Is there a song that we could just have to feel good right now?
My throwback jam is all of Missy Elliott's discography to go for that man who created a petition to have the statues in his city removed to put up a statue of Missy Elliott.
Because she's from that city, right? Yeah.
Yes.
To take down that Confederate... Well, yeah, I'm down. Yes. Just listen to Missy. The wisdom is there.
That is my throwback jam. All of Missy Elliott.
Love it. Great.
Perfect.
All right. Giggle, cackle, roar!
Oh, okay. So, my giggle, cackle, roar is going to be a roar for what you predicted would be a roar for me, which would be incredible Jessica James.
Oh, I know my friend so well. I knew that she would love it because it is just black millennial beauty.
And, like, the added theater aspect of it.
Just it's too really... much. It's too much, man. No, it. I feel you.
I cried, like, a lot. Like, the second, that first, in the first date, when she was just like, not the first part of it, but the first date that she goes on with the person. I'm not going to spoil it. I'm just going to say the first date, the thing she says, the line she has in that date is like very much at the core how I function. So like that whole part I watched again, like immediately after it happened and like cried because I was like, yes. Yes. Like, this is what I'm trying to get other people to understand about me. Like, holy crap. Yes. Yes. How do I, like, make potential partners watch this and be like, see her? Even, like, that crazy part at the end where she has to, like, go through a bunch of bullshit. Hi. Here I am. It's so good. And, like, Netflix, stop investing in Girl Boss. Please give us more of this. Please.
They already did. They already stopped investing in Girl Boss. That got one season. Got canceled.
I thought it got another.
No, it got canceled. Oh. They were upset. All the Girl Boss Sophia fans were like, no.
Good. They need to invest in Incredible Jessica James because that is what the people want. And by the people, I mean me.
I mean, it's such a good movie, and I'm glad that it's a movie. I'm glad it was a movie and not a show, but we need to have more movies like that. Just give me more movies with these type of people.
Please. Black girls like indie films, too.
Yeah, like, it had all the quirk, all the things that you would expect from an indie film. Like, it was a perfect indie film in that way, but it was Jessica Williams and...
Not Zooey Deschanel.
And not, yeah, and not... I mean, Zooey Deschanel's too old now to be that anyways.
Is she?
There's someone else. I mean, it could have been... Anna Kendrick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
She, you know, it could have been Aubrey Plaza. In that role.
It would not have had the same effect.
It wouldn't have been as good at all. No. I'm excited. There's this new Aubrey Plaza movie that I'm excited about. I saw the trailer for, and it's like she's like taking over some white girl's perfect like Instagram life. And she's like trying to become her, and it's like really creepy and scary, and I'm like, yeah. I want to see this.
I'm like, intrigued.
It's like modern single white female.
I'm intrigued and also like I'd rather not. I don't know what I feel.
It's like scary and I'm like, ooh, she's gonna kill them? Like, what is gonna happen? She's gonna take their life? She reminds me of this girl that I went to college with that had like a emotional breakdown and tried to steal this girl's life. So
I'm into it. I'll watch that.
I love it when it's messy.
What's your giggle cackle roar?
My roar It's for... what is my rubric? My rubric is for black comedy. First off, it's going to be a bunch of different things. Season 3 of Insecure is coming out next year. They got picked up again. Woot woot. I saw Girls Trip. It's so funny. And yeah. It's making all kinds of money.
I'm sad about that movie.
Why are you sad about it?
Because Rashonda decided to go without me.
Oh.
So now I have no one to go see it with.
Oh, I'm sorry, girl.
Yeah, Rashonda, I called you out.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's fun. It's real fun. It's real raunchy. I loved it because it was like kind of gross. There's like some gross shit in it and like crazy stuff. It was like very much like Black Girl, The Hangover in parts. But with like, you know, but it also still had its Lifetime moments.
Of course.
You know? You know, we can do everything. So fuck like men.
The Tyler Perry quote.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it had that, like, some of that super, super Soul Sunday-ness on top of it. You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it was fun. It's given me the goal that we have to go to Essence Festival next year.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we have to go.
I'm about to buy my plane ticket in, like, November.
But for real, let's do that.
Okay.
Like, let's, like, really do it and, like, drag Rashonda, find a fourth black girl, and go.
Yeah, I don't like odd numbers.
Yeah, no, we gotta find a fourth. I don't have one.
You're not gonna find one either.
Shit, for real though. No, yeah. But okay. I wanna go.
Essence Fest 2018. Essence Fest 2018. Speak it into the universe. Essence Fest 2018.
And if I want to also speak to the earth that if we could have a table or a thing that we host at Essence 2018.
I don't want to work.
I don't call that work. That is just the glow up. Do one little thing.
Do I get a bunch of free stuff?
Yeah, for free shit. Yeah, I would love free stuff.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. No, can we work with a brand that, like, flies us down there and we, like, pass out something? I don't care how we do it. Like, we're just there being the ambassador for some cool black shit. I'm cool for that.
Black ambassadors.
Yeah. Find us. I can speak that. I don't need it to take over the entire time, but if it comes with some, like, VIP seats that I didn't have to pay for, if I can go to a really dope party where I get to be, where I'm like, I could really like invest in some like nice hair or something. I don't know. Like go real deep and like real flashy.
Get me to wear a high heel.
Woo! Exactly. Get the face beat. Like hire a chick.
Never done that.
Right? Let's do that. At Essence Fest. At the very least, just because we want to be cute.
Cute? I don't know her. A lie.
Oh, like, oh, you just like living cute, but whatever.
It's clearly a lie. But like, face beat cute. I ain't never met her because I ain't got the energy to do my makeup like
that. That's like, oh, I got married. Yeah, I'll get my face beat.
Marriage? Okay. I don't know her.
All right. Well, and then also, rest in peace to Rick Gregory in that black, Dick Gregory in that as well. He was a civil rights activist. black comedian, worked with Dr. King, was an inspiration for Richard Pryor and George Carlin. The FBI tried to kill him. Just an important person, a black person that was for black people all the time. For the is his entire life. Also a vegan, so hey. All right. Promoted black people knowing about what the hell we put in our bodies.
Woo!
Guy has a really great bit about malt liquor, how it's made by white people but only distributed to black people, and we don't know what the heck is inside of it.
That's why I don't be drinking it.
And so I was like, oh, I just love them. Anyways, just truth.
All right, friends. That's another episode.
We did it. We're back.
We're back. Cross your fingers that nothing happens to my laptop. Nothing should, seeing how I just got everything on the inside replaced. But you never know. Apparently, things can happen. But in the meantime, if that does seem to happen, or even if it doesn't, you should still check us out on the internet. You can find us on Twitter at BLK Girls Laughing with no G, on Facebook, facebook.com/blackgirlslaughing, at our website, blackgirlslaughing.com. You can send us an email at blackgirlslaughing@gmail.com, and you can find us on our personal Instagrams. I am at BEE. KNIGHTLY at B Knightley.
And I am Bree Hines. Bree like the cheese. Hines. Like who? Who? Gregory Hines. Because again, black comedy. Alright. And if you enjoy this episode, please leave us a comment. Leave a message. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, please. It helps. Share this episode with your friend, with your homie that you're like, yeah, you know what? I think Tina would really like this episode. Let Tina know about it.
Yeah. All right, guys. See you later.
Peace. Come on.